I'm familiar with Hilchos Tshuva Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam introduces this famous idea that you're all familiar with. Okay? And that is to say that because in Halacha, in Perek Aleph, he explained the basic concept of Tshuva, and there he said that whenever a person does an Avera, any aver of the Torah, whether it's an asay, well, he goes into all the details, whether it's an asay, whether it's a lo asay, whether he did it for mazid, whether he did it for shogeg, right? So then he says, when he does tshuva, so he has to be mizvada. He goes, and he goes through the entire procedure, how a person has to be mizvada, and so on and so forth. Here he introduces a different idea. And that is the idea that, aside from specific averos, maase averos, there are other things for which a person has to do tshuva. Okay? Al tomar she'ein tshuva, you should not say that there is no tshuva ella, that the tshuva exists only for averos she'yesh ben ma'asa, which involve action. Kigon znus, gezel, gneva, sexual averos, stealing, etc. Ella kishem she'tzarech adam loshev me'elu, but just like a person has to return from these, kachu tzarech lechafes b'deos ro sheyeshlo. So too, he has to examine the bad characteristics, personality traits that he has. V'loshev, and to return min akas, from anger, min eva, from contentiousness, kina, envy, min ahitol, an attitude of levity, redifas hamamon, from his attitude, materialism, excessive materialism, running after money, running after honor, redifas hamachalos, running after food, v'chayote ben, none of which there's no specific aver over here, but he says that nevertheless a person has to examine all of his character traits, and he has to do tshuva. From all of these things, he has to be chosen b'tshuva. Okay, that's the first thing he says. V'elu ha'avonos kashim. Now he refers to them as sins. See, first he said he has to look into his deos. Now he's already talking about sins. V'elu ha'avonos, and these sins, kashim, are harder. Me'osam she'yesh behem ma'isa. From those that involve ma'isa. She'bizman she'odam nishka be'elu. Because when a person is sunk, immersed in these, kashahu lifrosh mehem, it's difficult to separate himself from them. V'cheinu omer, and thus it says in the pasuk, yazov rasha darko, that the rasha should abandon his derech, v'yish aven machshavosav, and the wicked man should abandon his thoughts. Okay. Now what would you say is a little bit unusual or problematical about the formulation of the Rambam? I always emphasize the formulation of the Rambam. He wants to know why he suddenly refers to them as avonos. The whole chiddush was that even though they're not, there's no specific sin, you still have to do tshuva for it. Okay. There's something, I think, a little more subtle about the Rambam. I noticed, yeah? You could ask it that way. But in order, the expression, what do you mean al tomar? Why does he have to introduce that expression of al tomar? He didn't. In Perek Aleph, he just tells you, he's telling you in an objective fashion, objectively speaking, what the requirements are, right? And he says, whenever a person does an avera, it's, as I said, whether it's intentional, but amazing, or shugs, so he has to do tshuva, right? Why doesn't he simply stick to the same ideas, objectively speaking? Why is he addressing himself? This whole Perek seems to revolve around not just making points, but addressing themselves to the person. It's a subjective thing. What do you mean, al-tomar? Why does he say al-tomar? He should simply say, kishem. That's how he should have said. Kishem sha'adam tzarech lasas, right? Kishem sha'adam tzarech lasas tshuva. That's tied in with, from a ma'aseh avera, so too he has to tshuva from this. What do you mean, al-tomar? That's irrelevant. What's the difference what I'm going to say, what I'm not going to say? I could have said that you don't have to do tshuva for other things too, but this is the Rambam that's telling you the halacha. So that's the question. So we have two questions. Aside from Ari's point about Avonos, I'd say there's two questions. on this album, Halacha. First of all, why does he express it in the language of Al Tomar? And secondly, what is the idea? Why are these sins more difficult? Why is it more difficult? It's interesting that these are more difficult to do tshuva from than the other ones. He just says because when he doesn't explain really why. He just says that when a person is immersed in this, it's difficult to separate. Well, when a person is immersed, you can say the same thing. When a person is immersed in behaviors, in znus, you know, and in forbidden things, it's also difficult. I don't know. In fact, probably a person would take the opposite approach, I'd imagine, and say that as long as a person hasn't committed the violation, as long as he hasn't done it, he's not so bad. Once he's already crossed the borderline and he's already stealing and so forth, it's much more difficult. But here the Rambam says just the opposite. I'd like to understand why specifically it's more difficult. I think there's two reasons to answer the second question as to why they're more difficult. There are two reasons for that. Because, first of all, an action, it's easier to control an action. Because even if the person is doing a forbidden action, but he can control himself, prevent himself, he can find gratification in other ways. But the patterns, the underlying patterns of the personality, to make a complete change in the personality, that's much more difficult. Because all your energy has been set up in a certain way. Each person has certain desires, certain patterns, so he can gear himself. It's one thing. See, the Torah did not legislate, the mitzvot themselves did not legislate perfection. It's possible, as you know, for a person to keep all of the mitzvot very scrupulously and to be extremely imperfected. And that's precisely what the Rambam is addressing over here. In other words, there's two kinds of tshuva, and there's two machayvim of the tshuva. The first tshuva that the Rambam is talking about, the machayiv is the mitzvot, the system of mitzvot that God has given us. So we're machayiv to keep that system, and when a person does an avera, so that he has a chayiv in terms of his relationship to the system. But over here, see, Al Tomar, a person has the people. This is an attitude that the Rambam is addressing. That's why it's Al Tomar, because people think this is a very prevalent attitude today. That as long as I'm keeping the mitzvot, and he hides behind that, I'm not doing any averos, and you can lead a very materialistic kind of a life, and you can get together to have all kinds of parties and indulge all of your materialistic desires, and even in the framework, you know, to simcha, to another simcha, you can extend it and have more and more parties. So a person can hide behind that. And the mechayev over here, I would say, is what mitzvah? There is a mitzvah of the Torah that's a mechayev. What's the mitzvah? Kedoshim Tiyu. Mechayev and Kedoshim Tiyu really means that a person shouldn't be a maneuver b'rshus haTorah. You see? That is to say that the ultimate objective of the Torah is perfection of the Gavra. And that's a very important mistake that people make. People think that as long as they're doing the system, they're keeping the system, so then that's enough. They don't have to, they're perfect already. They don't have to look into there, they don't have to examine their personalities. That's why the Rambam is saying that no, that there's a separate chiyuv over here. You have to do tshuva on two different levels. Of course you have to do tshuva in terms of that comes first if you're not keeping the system, so there's no way you're going to find perfection. But if you're keeping the system, don't think that just because you're keeping the system you're going to be in a state of perfection. And that's why it's avon. Avon means a state in which a person cannot have a proper relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that could be either through breaking one of his commandments, or else it could be in a state of the soul which keeps a person far removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, whereas emotions are tied to the evil, and that's much more difficult. That's a much more difficult thing to do. An avera, a person hears this is an avera. Can't deal with it. There's no way he can defend himself against it. And then the truth of the matter is, it's not that difficult. You know, a person can work these things out, especially b'zman hazeh. A person can always keep Shabbos. He can avoid being mechal Shabbos. There's ways you can have the things that today with technology, you can have all the things that you need, and with foods and with parties, everything can be worked out perfectly so that you can have a very kosher life. But to make changes from your whole personality, the things that you're chasing after in life, is very, very difficult. That's the first thing. And the second point is what Yoni said. It takes tremendous honesty over there too. It takes tremendous honesty. Because First of all, an action can't be denied. A person went to a treif restaurant, he ate a piece of treif, there's no way, I mean, he can't deny it unless he's like, insane. If it's pointed out to him, he has to acknowledge it. But all of these things require tremendous honesty. They demand a certain type of a perfection. And not only that, they can be rationalized, but you see, in these things, it all depends. Everybody can explain his lifestyle. All these things, since they're not inherently averos, right? And you're doing something like eating, chasing after food. So, it's at what point? Well, it's all a question. There we're talking about what? A certain balance that you have to maintain. You can't not eat, right? In terms of chasing, what do you mean chasing after money? Everybody has to make a living. Everybody needs money. Everybody has expenses. So how are you going to do? It's very easy for a person to say that what I'm doing is what I need. He can defend everything that he's doing. So that requires, that's why it's kasha. Kasha lifrosh mehem, because it involves the entire personality, and it requires a tremendous degree of honesty to work on these things. But the truth of the matter is, herein lies the true tshuva. This is the true tshuva, the true perfection of the gavra. Now, I think there's truth in what you're saying, that a person might argue that he can't deal with these things. But I think the Rama over here, his point is, he's addressing himself to a person who is thinking that there's no requirement of tshuva over here. Right? That's what I think. That's the chiddush over here. The chiddush over here is to establish a chiyuv of tshuva. Right? Not to tell a person that he can. Of course, that comes with it. In telling you that there's a chiyuv of tshuva, what I'm telling you is that you can do tshuva, right? But the halamin is that what do I have to tshuva for? That the Torah is not concerned with these types of things. That all you really have to worry about is whether you're in line with the system of mitzvahs. If I'm in line with the system of mitzvahs, so I'm okay. Good point. As I said, I'm in the process of developing this. And I told you that we're going to have to continue, and I could tell you to think about it on Yom Kippur. But not while you're doing tshuva, though. I don't want to distract you. I would say, though, anybody want to come to my assistance over here with this, is that that's not the way it works. A person does not go directly to perfection. Because if that's the case, Kedoshim Tiyu comes later. But Kedoshim Tiyu is not found amongst the Aseres HaDibros. It's not found amongst, you could ask me the same question. But there is a methodology by which the Torah reaches a person. The Torah could not address the person and tell him that what does God want? God wants you to be perfect. Be perfected in all your ways. And therefore you have to gain knowledge in life, and you have to see how you fit into the system of things and so forth. There's a system over here, and the system is that first a person has to be raised to keep the system, to keep the Torah. That's extremely, extremely important. We can't diminish the importance of that. And he has to be scrupulous. He has to perfect himself with regard to the Shmiras HaMitzvot. That's the system that God gave us. You see? And that's why that's always first and foremost. You can't just abandon the system and just start working on your emotions. Point. That's a good point. That people have made mistakes along these lines. Not to recognize the tremendous importance of the mitzvos. So I would say that in Hilchos Tshuva, first and foremost, I mean, if a person is not in line with the system, so then he's an avarian. I mean, as far as he's in open rebelliousness against God. He doesn't recognize the system. The first thing is, you've got to be in line with the system. You see? That's where the Rambam starts off Hilchos Tshuva, and essentially he's talking about with regard to the system of mitzvos. But then he has to introduce something else. This, and the idea of tshuva, we can understand because you've sinned, and you've got to correct yourself. You've got to repent, and so on and so forth. But this, you'd say, is something which is completely different. Not to say, by the way, that a person doesn't accept the fact that he has to work on himself. That's not the chiddush. Everybody knows you have to work on yourself. You have to try and be a better person. But to say that is included in the framework of tshuva, and that there is a chi of tshuva for midos ro'os, that's the big chiddush over here. Of course we know. I don't mean to say that the Rambam came along and told us a big idea that you have to work on yourself. Because that the Rambam said in Hilchos Deos. In Hilchos Deos, the Rambam has put down the correct approach that a person should use in in developing himself in terms of his midos, and you should always strive for the Shvil HaZahav and so forth. Of course you have to work on yourself. And he said that kas is a bad thing. But you'd say that's different. That's not included in the framework of tshuva, because in tshuva we're talking about sin. And that's something else. That's not sin. Here the Rambam is defining it as avonos. That if a person maintains within himself midos that take him away from achieving perfection in terms of his relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's an avon, and he's v'chuyov. He has a chiyuv to look into himself and to search it out, and once discovering it, he has to work on it. That's what the Al Yomar, you think, that's what the Al Yomar is saying. Yeah. But the fact that it's a separate Machayev is proven by that it's a number of prakim away from the original, from Perek Aleph. Why he should have brought it all together? Why didn't he list it together? I mean, the whole list. Because he did say, he said, Zdonos and Shkagos, etc. Everything that a person does, he has to do tshuva. So, the fact that he brings it in now, and you'll see from the rest of the parak, clearly indicates that it's in a different framework. Read the halacha. As we read the halacha, so tell me what, try and notice what is a little bit strange. Then he says, Al yedana adam bal tshuva, that the person who's a bal tshuva should not imagine, shehu meruchak mimalas hatzadikim, that he is far away from the level of tzadikim, mipnei ha'avonos v'hachato she'asa, because of the sins that he has committed. Ein hadavar kein, the matter is not that way. Elo ohav v'nechmadu lifnei habore, but rather he is beloved and desired before God, ki'ilu lo chotem e'olam, as though he has never sinned at all. V'lo od, not only this, moreover, elash escharo harbe, but his reward is very great. Sharei tom tam achet, because he has tasted the taste of chet, upeirash bimenu, and he separated from it. V'kavash yitzro, and he conquered his yetzer. Amru chachamim, makam shar balei tshuva omdim, the chachamim said that the place where the bal tshuva stands, ain't tzaddikim gemurim yecholim lamad bo. Tzaddikim gemurim can't stand in the same place. Kolomar. See, he starts off by saying you shouldn't think he's not on that level. There at the end, he's putting him on a heart. Kolomar, ma'alasam gedola mimalas elu. That is to say that their level is greater than the level of those shalochatu me'olam, who never sinned at all. Mipnei shem koshim yitzram yosem mehem, because they conquer the Yetzer more than them. Okay, what do you have to say about this halacha? Rav is asking a good question. And when you think about it, it's a pretty obvious question. He's saying that just because it's harder for them to get there, why does this put them on a higher level? Is that it? The implication is that because he had to work harder, saying no, I mean, for some people, let's say they, for some person, learning the Gemara comes easy. So he knows the Gemara. Now the other person has to work much harder. But just because he had to work much harder, does that mean that he knows it better? That he's on a higher level? Okay, you got to give him credit for working, but the result is, you wouldn't say that he's necessarily on a higher level. It's just that it took him more effort to reach that level. But here the Rambam is saying that their mila is gedola. That's your question, right? Okay, that's good. And again, this whole thing is being framed in a subjective manner. Al yadame. Yeah, why is he framing this whole thing? This whole parak basically seems to be... state a factual thing. Right, that the... Now you want to... Exactly, you want to expound upon the idea of the Baal Tshuva as opposed to the Tzadik Amar. So tell us that. Again, it's al yadame. It's all in the framework of... It's something the Rambam, who basically, most of the time, is always objective, right, just laying down the laws and explaining them, suddenly it's al yadame. I mean, if let's say the person wouldn't imagine this way, so the Rambam wouldn't have to teach us this. We still have to know the principles over here. That's quite true. The Rambam does start off by saying it's not the case. You're not on a lower level, right? And he starts off. Then he says, well, not only that, but you're on a higher level. So it's like a funny kind of a thing. Oh, Joe is saying is a key idea. Say it again, that once a person...
Once a person does a thing, people think that that's part of the rabbit.
Yeah. In other words, see, the objective of the Rambam over here is, of course, to tell you... He's mixing together two different things. Of course, he's trying to tell you the truth, the objective laws and ideas of tshuva, but he's doing so in a way which addresses itself to the psychology of the sinner. That there are certain misconceptions that people have. That's why in the first case, people think that there's no real chi of tshuva in the other. I'll just work on myself, but not that I have a chi of tshuva. Here too, I think the Rambam is addressing himself to a very powerful emotional idea that people have, which prevents them from doing tshuva. You see, the objective of this parak is to help the person to facilitate his asiyas tshuva. And I think what Joe said is correct, that when a person sins, he's often held back because of a misconception, and that he feels he can never, when he does reach the point where he recognizes he feels guilty about what he's done and he wants to tshuva, he feels that he can never reinstate himself. He could never get back to the place that he was. And there's, you see, what he's doing is he's taking an idea which does exist in the ordinary scheme of things, in the world of human relations, and he's projecting it onto God. For example, you can have, in any system, you can have a series of rules and so forth, and you can violate them, and there can be a way of getting back in good graces, so to speak, you know. You have to pay taxes, if you don't pay, you get into trouble, there's a way of extricating yourself and so forth. But you know, in most situations, let's say you've wronged someone, you've harmed someone, and finally you meet with him and you propitiate, and then so on, you appease him, and let's say he accepts the apology. Right? But generally speaking, you realize that he'll never be the same again. And he may even tell you that. Alright, you know, we can resume. I'm not angry, I'm not going to make things. But he now regards you in a totally different light. You're not the same as you were before. Before he looked at you one way, and now he looks at you in a totally different way. So that's always going to be there. It's always going to be there that you're okay now. I mean, you've corrected it, but you're a guy who sinned against me. You see? Now that's that idea. If a person has that idea, it's a false idea in terms, because tshuva, the essence of tshuva is to reinstate your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a person is bothered by the fact that what holds him back. He can never have that same relationship. What the Rambam is saying over here is that in terms of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as though you never sinned at all. It's not like you're in a low, that there's two categories. There's one category of those people who have always been faithful, and then there's another category of people that sinned, but that's the way everybody would look at it. That's a lower category. That's the way the world looks at it. People always extol the person who is a tzaddik. He never, ever, could ever sin. They say, okay, Baal Tshuva. The truth of the matter is, and you look at it from a subjective standpoint in our society, the term Baal Tshuva does have a negative connotation. You know, when people call, we'll soon see that it's just the opposite in reality, but you get phone calls about a shidduch and so on and so forth, and is he a Baal Tshuva? And in certain circles, that already is a disqualification, Baal Tshuva. But according to this, next time I get a phone call, I'm going to pull out this Rambam. So let's learn the Rambam together. So that's the first thing. The first thing that the Rambam is saying is that God does not regard you as being on a lower level. In terms of your relationship to God, it's completely eliminated, and it's like you had never sinned before. The second idea is that there's a special mila. And I don't think... Yeah, I would say that the answer is the Rambam is saying there's no substance to it. No, there's no substance to it at all. But that it is a very powerful... It must be a very significant idea if the Rambam is addressing himself to it. Because his purpose over here is not just to teach you ideas, but to facilitate your actual accomplishment of tshuva. And these ideas are... You'll see in the parak, these ideas are extremely necessary. Aaron's asking a good question. I hadn't even noticed that. It's a subtle point. That what, according to what we're saying, that he's trying to break down the barriers over here, so he should have addressed before the person did tshuva. Chote. Al yadama adam chote. Right? Here he says, once he's a Baal Tshuva, obviously this didn't bother him, and he's a Baal Tshuva. So if it doesn't bother him, and he did Tshuva already, so now what do you... That's a problem on my explanation. Right? Yeah, okay. I'll try and explain that. Right? As Max says, it'll... What's right? It'll... If he's already done Tshuva, so what do you... What is it, a pat in the back? I mean, what are we concerned with now? What's the significance of this point? Okay, that's a good observation. Basically, though, to answer Jeff's question tentatively, basically is that it doesn't... I don't think he's talking about who's on a higher level in a completely universal sense. He means to say that the Baal Tshuva should realize that he has a separate... There's a separate virtue. You see, the capacity to be Kovesh Es Yisro is a separate element in a person's relationship to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's his... You see, you can't measure, like a person that's tied the Gomar. That's what we had, the person that's tied the Gomar. It says by Yoshua that Min Urav, that he was, what does it say, he was Eved Moshe Min Urav, that he served Mo Min Urav. In other words, that he never was towing the Tamachet. That's supposed to be a tremendous virtue. That means that all of his energy is directed towards the good, and he never did any actions which would cause his energy to be diverted to a different area. The Rambam over here is not talking about that type of thing. The Rambam is talking about a special milah. There's a special milah in terms of Ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed in the capacity to be a Kovesh Es Yisro. And that milah he has. That's a separate milah that he has. Yeah? There's an aspect, that's what we're saying. There is an aspect in which the one who was steeped in the Avera and he was Poresh from the Avera does have a certain element of superiority. That doesn't mean to say that, you see, on the in the total picture, that's something else. We're not judging one person against another. That doesn't mean to say that he's a bigger tzaddik. That doesn't mean to say he's a bigger tzaddik than someone who, from youth, was always directing his energy towards the good and never was a chote in the first place. That's not what he's saying. He means to say that there is a separate element of perfection in being a Kovesh Es Yisro. But hey, Kala Neviim Kulam, all of the Neviim, Tzivu Ala Tshuva, commanded about Tshuva. The Ein Yisrael Nig'olin Ela B'Tshuva. And Israel will not be redeemed except with Tshuva. Ukvar Evticha Torah, and the Torah has already promised us, Shesof Yisrael Lasos Tshuva, that Israel is destined to do Tshuva, Besof Galusam, at the end of the exile. Umiyad heim nigolin, and immediately they'll be redeemed. Shenemar says, "V'hoi kiyavu alecha kol advarim," etc., etc. V'shafta adar Hashem alakecha, v'shav Hashem alakecha shvuscha. So, in other words, those are the psukim that, in the end of day, so to speak, all of these evil things will come upon you, and you'll return. There's the haftacha that the Jews will return. And as soon as they return, v'shav Hashem l'kecha shvuscha v'rachamecha, v'shav v'kibetz chamchalam, asher fischa ad Hashem l'kecha shama. Okay? Interesting. By the way, there's, in our times, there's a lot of messianic movements, messianic fervor, and, every so often, people, the Jewish people get fixated on a certain individual or a certain situation, and they believe that the ge'ula is imminent, but here you have a perfect test. I mean, according to the Rambam, anytime a person claims that we're in the Messianic era or Mashiach is imminent, the question is, did the Jews do Tshuva? That's a very... The Rambam says that in the end, right, that's the Rambam Shita, in the end the Jews are going to... Right? Third? No? I'm sorry. Hefticha Torah, Shesof Yisrael Lasos Tshuva. That the Torah has predicted that the Jews are destined to do tshuva, b'sof galusim, at the end of the exile. At the end of the exile, they're going to do tshuva. So in other words, until they... And then they will not be redeemed. Right, they will not be redeemed without it. I mean, it seems to be pretty clear that if you maintain... I don't see how you could read it otherwise. In other words, you maintain that an individual today is Mashiach. Mashiach is coming next week, and we take a look, unless you say that in the next week they're going to do tshuva. I mean, that's the only way. But if there's no time left, so to speak, and you're saying Mashiach is coming without tshuva, that's a negation of the Rambam. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Max, it is true though that according to Chazal, it indicates that it could be hastened. The ito achishenu. That's the famous pasuk. You know that if the Jews do tshuva and achishenu, then God will hasten the process. But if they don't, then beito, it'll happen beito. That's just a question of whether it will be earlier or later. But the manner in which it's going to come about will be through tshuva. You got to have tshuva. Okay. What's difficult about this Rambam? Look around. Up to now, he's been telling us ideas about tshuva. What in kol anavim kulam tzivu al tshuva? So what? And the ein Yisrael negol and elav b'tshuva. What is the point of that? And then he kfar tzicha tarsha self Yisrael lasos tshuva b'sof galusam, etc. That seems to be a separate point. I mean, I'm sure there's. It's very important. There's a place for it. Maybe in, you know, when the Rambam talks about Mashiach and Hilchos Malachim, he should have brought this down, right? But with the fact that all the Nevi'im commanded about tshuva. Well, so what? We learn tshuva from the Torah. We learn tshuva. We don't need the Nevi'im for that. So what do I gain, right? What do I gain by knowing that all the Nevi'im mentioned, you know, talked about tshuva, v'lebsov, thank you so much. I think over here the Rambam is introducing us to the next few halachos. The basic problem with Vav and Zayin seems to be a lot of redundancy or repetitiveness. Pretty much the same thing. Because now Gedola Tshuva. Now the Rambam extols the virtue of Tshuva. And basically what is the virtue of Tshuva? Shemakarevus is Adam Lashchina. That it brings him close to the Shechina. And he quotes all the psukim. Tshuva Hashem Adad Hashem Alakecha. And then he says, Emesh, this is a famous quote from the Rambam, yesterday he was far away, he was hated, despised, Meshukat, Meruchak, To'eva, the lowest type of thing, abomination, far away. V'hayom hu ohov v'nechmod karo v'yadid. It seems to be a little bit of repetition, because he already told us that he reinstates his relationship, but this seems to be more than that. This seems to be a little bit different, because before he just said, don't think you're in a, you know, a second-class individual, a second-class citizen, right? You're on the same class as everybody else. But now he's saying more than what he said. I don't think this is... it's not exactly repetitive of what he said before. It would seem to be that way. Before he said, don't think you're a second-class citizen, you're a first-class citizen, even though you sin. As long as you did tshuva, you're a first-class citizen. Now he's saying a little bit more than that, I think. More than that, because he's giving him all these... was he yadid yesterday? Oh, he's putting him in a special class over here. And this, the chinat hamotzi shebalashon shekadosh baruch hu marchik achotim. The language. What's the idea of this? The language that God pushes aside, distances the sinners. Ba makariv es hashem. The exact same expression. Bein yachid bein rabim. In other words, it seems to be with the extent of the distancing, right? That's the barometer of how close he is in when he does tshuva, right? There's a relationship between the two. And he quotes psukim to that. That's in Vav. Now in Zion it seems to be pretty much the same. Kama mo'ula ma'alav ha'tshuva. Right? How wondrous is, how high is the level of tshuva. And again, Emesh. Yeah, it's the same idea. Ha'yizem muvdol me'ashem alakei Yisrael. This person, it seems to be the same basic idea, repetitive, that how wondrous tshuva is, and that is that yesterday he was so far away, and today he's so close. Well, first of all, I mean, what's the chiddush in that? I mean, you told me already, right? You told me already that a person can do tshuva for any chait, and if he does tshuva, so his relationship is restored. I'm sorry? As if he never sinned. So what more is there to say? After that should be the end of it. So now it's Gedola Tshuva. Now suddenly Tshuva becomes a great, great thing. And in Vav and Zion, at least on the surface, seem to be for the same reason. Because of what it effectuates, a change from tremendous distance from God to suddenly tremendously close to God. It seems pretty much repetitive. Okay? And then he closes with halacha ches. Which again, how does that fit in? I mean, Max's point is very good. Like, what's the underlying theme of the Rambam over here? There seems to be disjointed ideas. That Bala Tshuva Dakam Liyosh Falam Adam Vyoser. That the Bala The Baal Tshuva, it's the habit of a Baal Tshuva to be very lowly, humble, exceedingly humble. Then he mentions something else. Imcher for osam aksilim, masayim arishonim, it's the fools. Abuse them, make fun out of them, because of their original actions. And they say, yesterday, you did such and such, and yesterday you were such and such. They shouldn't pay attention to it. They don't pay attention to it, but rather they listen and they rejoice, and they realize that this is a schus for them. It's a schus. It's good for. They realize that it's really very good for them, because as long as they are embarrassed because of their deeds and they're ashamed of them, so their schus is very great, and their mila increases. Then he says, of course, that is chay gamer huloma. Then he warns off the others that this is a serious chay. To say to a Baal Tshuva, to remember your original deeds, or to mention them in front of him in order to embarrass him, or even in an indirect way, because it's very subtle. People know how to embarrass people in subtle ways, or to mention certain things in front of a Baal Tshuva, which are indirectly, but it will cause him to be upset. So he'll remember, as a result of what he's saying, he'll remember what he did. All this is awesome, and this is called. So this is the Araisa, Hanayas Dvarim, which the Torah warned, below Sonu wishes Amiso. What is the connecting link? Okay, so basically from Halacha He and on, every Halacha we're trying to understand how does it fit in. Let's review. What is the point of telling us that all the Nevi'im commanded about Tshuva? That Israel will not be redeemed except through Tshuva? And then the two halachos on the greatness of tshuva, and then the closing halacha about the Baal Tshuva, that he's lowly and that he's not affected by the taunts of the other people. See, I think the Rambam is saying, he's adding a new point over here, and that is, see, basically tshuva is not simply, I mean, what you would look at tshuva is, it's a removal of a negative. Right? Tshuva is not just the removal of something which prevents you from being close to God. That's one idea of tshuva. It's true. But tshuva is a positive phenomenon in itself. In terms of achieving perfection, that's why I think, this parak, that's why the Rambam talks about these halachas in this parak. That in a certain sense, tshuva is essential to perfection. It's not just, that's why I think he means, that's why all the Nevi'im commanded about it. It's not just, you see, tshuva is not just an accident of the system. So you could have a system, again, let's set up a system, and the system has certain rules, like with a job, right? So then a person, he has to come on time, he has to do certain things, and if he breaks the rules, so you give him, you could give him three chances.
Sure.
The third time, right? So if he broke the rule the first time, so he's not gonna, he still has a chance to make up for it. Okay, that means to say that really the tshuva is just an accident of the system, but we're just marachim. We give the guy a little bit of room before we fire him. That's one concept of tshuva. All right. If that's the case, I don't think that every navi would command. When he's talking about the tshuva in terms of perfection, I think he's Mila, that tshuva has a certain mila, means to say that the ultimate, it's built into the system, the way man is structured and the way he was designed, and when the Torah was given, it was designed for a person to go through the process of tshuva and to reach perfection. There may be certain yechidim that, even so, because it's not just, we're talking about, it is possible, it is conceivable, that a person might be so scrupulous, never do a specific avera. But tshuva, in terms of midos, the midos that he's talking about over here, is virtually impossible to even imagine. That's part of the process of perfection. The process of perfection is on different levels. I mean, a person has to learn Torah, and he has to daven, and he has to do all the mitzvot, and he has to work. But tshuva is an essential component in reaching perfection. That's why I think all the Nevi'im, that's why he brings that factor in over there. Because the Nevi'im were concerned with what? with perfection. I mean, the Torah gives you the basic guidelines, the basic the basic ideals of what to strive for. But then the Nevi'im came, and they reinforce. And what they chose to reinforce were the most important ideas. That's why all of them spoke about tshuva. Because this is the son. That's why then Klal Yisrael has a. This is for the yachid, for the individual, and this is. See, because we have a false idea about tshuva. We look at tshuva the wrong way. We look at tshuva as being a necessary evil. I sinned. I want to get back in. I got to make amends. But tshuva is a positive process, and a person who goes through tshuva and he does it properly reaches a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he would not have reached had he not gone through that process. That's what he's saying in Alach Avav. There's two expressions. As Moshe said, Gedola Tshuva, here he's talking in terms of the perfection of the Gavra. Shemekareves as Adam L'Shechina. There's a certain, because of the fact that he has to confront, a Baal Tshuva has to confront all of his emotions, and he's living a certain lifestyle, and he has a certain identity, and he's involved in a tremendous conflict. And because of his Ahavas Hashem, because of his recognition of the good, he's able to overcome all those things and to work them through and to make those transformations. This brings him into a special relationship with the Kadosh Baruch, which otherwise he never would have had. That's one expression. And Zion, I would say, is in a different sense. And it could be in terms of his position with regard to the Ashkafa. Because he says things like he prays and immediately he's answered. I want to say over here, and I'm just tossing this out, that there's another special idea about tshuva. And that is, it could be, because tshuva, aside from the perfection of the individual, is a halacha of Kiddush Hashem. That it's a Kiddush Hashem, because when a person becomes a Baal tshuva, see, this really reflects, a person does mitzvot, like the Rambam says. The Rambam says that any person that does a mitzvah for no ulterior motive, purely because God commanded it, that's a Kiddush Hashem per se. And along those lines, if a person is raised all of his life in a certain way and he does the mitzvah, it's a very high level. But a person who was living the false lifestyle, that's the very fact that a person is living a false lifestyle is making a statement. He's saying that that man is just basically an instinctual being, that there is no ultimate good. It's really a denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then the person who was steeped in that false lifestyle, and he exercises his Bechira. You see? That's why the whole world is all excited when somebody, a famous actor, a movie star, someone, you know, a wealthy person suddenly becomes, has a complete change and he embraces the Torah. This is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because people say, wow, this person had everything, all the taivas, and here's a person that experienced all of the taivas, and the Torah says that these are all illusions, but most people are steeped and they can't free themselves from that notion that this is the real good, and he gave it all up because of his realization of the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So I think these are some of the ideas that the Rambam is bringing home to us. I just want to summarize it. At the basic, in terms of the individual over here, the whole perek is designed for two ideas: to present another element of tshuva, that a person has the wrong idea of tshuva, that tshuva is not simply the removal of a negative. That's how he started out before. It is the removal of a negative, and you're not a second class citizen. But there's a positive element in tshuva as well. As we see that the perfection of Klal Yisrael is going to be, that's all we're talking about over a long period of history, is only going to come about through tshuva. And once you do tshuva, this brings you to a special relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that the point for us to remember is that a person, what prevents a person, I think what prevents a person from doing tshuva are many of the ideas that the Rambam mentioned over here. And that is that, see, a person can go to two possible extremes. Sometimes he's very haughty and very egotistical and he won't listen. But then, see, when a person begins to feel guilty and feel ashamed of what he's been doing, and he wants to do tshuva, then he has to be on guard against other ideas. See, a person, the Rambam says that in tshuva, it's nichanti vavoshti. He has to have regret and he has to have shame. You have to understand, shame, these very fact, these can prevent the person from doing tshuva as well. I mean, the emotions of shame, the emotions of guilt are extremely important. They were planted there for a certain reason, and they're helpful for a person, but they can also be destructive of a person. That's what the Rambam is addressing himself to. Because a person feels he's too small, he's too lowly, he's no good. And when a person has that feeling that he's no good, that he's blown his opportunity, everybody walks around with this idea. He looks at tzaddikim and he feels, oh, they're righteous, they never sin. And the fact that I sinned, that's a block. It's a blight on my personality, and that's it, I'm a sinner. And he has a new self-image of being a sinner. And that's a false idea as well. And that could be just as difficult as the instinctual forces are to overcome. But very often, it's not just that, but his low self-esteem. If he begins, he's afraid to even think about what he does wrong, because he imagines that if he starts thinking about it, he'll be in this tremendous conflict, there's no way he can get out of it. So if a person has that image of being a blighted individual, they'll never be able to do tshuva. That's why the Rambam is encouraging it. That's why the Rambam brings it at the end. The Baalei Tshuva are very humble. They're very humble, and they're not affected by what... You see, who are these other people over here? Who are these other people that talk to them that way? Who are these other people that are going to remind them of their past? See, those other people are reflecting the idea that the Baal Tshuva himself has to contend with. That's the idea that everybody has. You see, that is the common, ordinary religious notions of people. All people have these ideas. And that is that basically we're no good, we're instinctual, we're sinners, and we're guilt. That's a Christian idea. But we've been affected by these ideas. And when a person has that idea, he looks at himself as being defective, as being inferior, and since he sinned and did these things, that's based upon a primitive relationship to you think, that idea, that attitude is based upon a very primitive relationship to God. It's a false idea that these are arbitrary commands, and if I obey God, then God will be good to me, and if I disobey, I'm going to get punished, and now I've disobeyed, so I can never make it up. What you're doing is you're projecting all... It's very important to remove yourself from that perspective and to look at it from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true that yesterday the person was living... It all depends upon the life that you're living. The person is living an instinctual lifestyle, so it's a natural result. He's going to be very, very far from God. And it could be an abomination. But all God wants, you see, and it's a very important idea also... It says Yazov Rosh Adarko, V'yishav Kilo Machshavoseichem. A person, why does it bring you to that point? Don't, because each person has his own machshavos. He has his own ideas about where he stands in connection with God. And very often he overestimates. If he does a good thing, he overestimates. If he does a bad thing, he overestimates in the wrong direction. Kilo Machshavoseichem. This is the truth. The truth is that it all depends upon how you live your life. That if you're living your life in the wrong way, so then of course you're far from God. But you think that just because I've lived my life, you're working with your own conceptions. I have a scorecard. At 20 years, I've been a thief. I've been a bum. I've been a bad person. So I can never work my way. Society will never respect me. Yeah, it's true. Society, you're right. But in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't make... Tomorrow, that's the idea of Emesh. Why does he have to bring in that whole allegory of the Emesh type of thing? Well, what's the point of that? Like it's a sudden kind of thing. Because a person is operating with his own emotional baggage, and he's projecting. Right? In the world, in the social situation, you don't have Emesh. No one's going to accept this. You know, a guy that's been a thief, he's been in the mafia for the last 20, 25 years, and suddenly wants to repent. Okay, we'll be very, we'll respect him and suspect him, and slowly but surely, and he'll never, I don't think he'll ever be elected. Well, maybe today things are different, but I don't think he'll ever be honored. You know, he'll never receive a true position. He'll never win the Nobel Prize, the Peace Prize. Well, then maybe he'll win that too, because Arafat got the Nobel Peace Prize. So I think that I'm losing my ability to make analogies in society. But it would have been unthinkable. But you see the point. The point is, because we can't. We have to be extremely careful. You can't transform yourself. And therefore the problem is that you take the very same ideas and you apply them to your relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, no, Amish, it all goes by how Amish, it's true. Because it all goes by the way you're living. And if you're living like a behemoth, so then you're very, very far removed from God. But if you can go through that process, you don't have to worry. That's why he says, don't look at what other people are saying. Other people are going to look down on you. You see, that's why he brings it in at the end. Other people are going to make fun out of you. That's because of their baseness. But a true Baal Tshuva is very happy about that, because he knows he's freed himself from what other people are thinking. And he's raised himself to operating in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lo Machshavos Lo Machshavosecham. And there, forget about it. A person could be the worst dechote in the world. And if he does tshuva, forget about what the world will still laugh at you and bring it up. In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did. You did the closest possible relationship. He prays and he feels you have a special relationship that nobody else can have. So that's the way a person has to. The Rama mentions this because a person is prevented from doing tshuva by the fact that he feels that he's a failure. And he has a low opinion of himself. And he feels that it's futile, that it's hopeless. And that as long as he maintains that idea, he's going to be destroyed. I just want to mention one last thing over here. And that is, I think the model, by the way, maybe I'm wrong, I mean one of the models certainly in terms of how to handle chayv. You see, we tend, when we study about the Gedolim and Tzaddikim, we always, and Chumash, you don't see how they contended with chayv. You see all the greatness, all the great things they did. Avram, the Avinu, the Akedah, all these great, great things. And you know, sometimes it's very, we can't relate to that. I mean, we're not anywhere close to that level. But we have to know the ideal. But you read Tanakh, you read about people, and it gives you, you know, more situations that you can identify with, especially with David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech, you see him in his greatness, and you also see him in moments of chayv. But what impresses me is the way he was, the way he related to a situation of chayv. And you see that when the chayv was brought home to him, he was broken, he was shattered. And he went through the emotion of guilt and shame, but it never destroyed him. Then his seichel always took over. The classical illustration of that is what case am I referring to? The case after the, with the Ria, right? With the wife of Ria, Basheva. And then the Navi comes to him. I'm not going to go through it right now. The Navi comes to him and he gives him a parable about the man, the wealthy man who took the sheep from the poor man and so forth, to bring home to him what he had done. And then he said, Chatasi. And God said, because of the tshuva, so he wouldn't kill him. But the child from Bathsheba would die, right? And then it says a very interesting thing. And you see how David HaMelech operated, and the people around him couldn't understand the way he was operating. Because it says that then Nasan left. Nasan never went to his house. And Vayigav Hashem as a Yelad. And God smote the Yelad, the child, that the wife Beriah had given birth to. So David, Vayavakesh David Solakim Biad Hanar. And then David sought out God. He was in the spiral. Vayotzam, he fasted. Uvav Alon V'shachav Arzad. Okay. He, when it came to God, he slept on the ground. He wouldn't indulge in any kind of pleasures. Then the Ziknei Beis came to get him off the ground, but he refused, and he wouldn't eat with them. Then it was on the seventh day, and the boy died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him, because they saw how the situation that he was in, how upset he was about the whole thing. They wouldn't tell him. Because they said, when the boy was alive, we spoke to him and he wouldn't listen to us. So how can we tell him now? Meis hayeled. V'yasar ra, will do an evil. See, they misunderstood David HaMelech completely. They thought that he was completely overcome by his emotions. And David saw David was not in a state of denial. David saw that there was the whispering, he could tell. So Vayoven David ki meis hayeled. And David understood that the boy was dead. Vayoma David Lavadov, and David said to his servants, Meis hayeled, Vayoma Meis. You see, he wasn't afraid to face the reality. They wouldn't they thought he's in such a distraught situation they can't even tell him. But he could have denied it too. But he saw them and he confronted it. But then something strange happens. Then it says, Vayakam David Meyaris, he got up, Vayirchot, and he washed, Vayasach, he put on oils, Vayachlech, and he changed his clothing. Then he came, Vayevol Beis Hashem, Vayishtachu. Then he went to the house of God, and he davened. Vayevol Beiso. Then he came to Vayishal, Vayasimulo Lechem, but then he came home, and he ate a meal. So they thought he was crazy. Vayom Ravadav Elov. And his servant said to him, Mordav Razashah Sisa, what are you doing? Bavura Yom Chai, when he was alive, Tamta Vateich. Then you fasted and you cried. V'chashameis, now I yell, now the tragedy is, kamta v'toch alechem, now you're getting up and you're eating. It's like a completely irrational behavior. So he said, no. It's completely rational. See, there's a place, there's a time and a place for the emotions. V'yomer b'yoda yelet chai, as long as the boy was alive, tamti v'ef, even though God had said that he was going to be punished and he would be killed, but al yimona Adam may rachamim. A person should never give up and turn on rachamim. It was misbalo. It was a rational thing to do. I cried. Ki amarti mi yodea. I said, who knows? Yechanani Hashem v'chai yolad. Maybe God will have mercy. Maybe there's still room for mercy, and the boy will live. V'yatameis. Now the boy. Now you have to move on. Lamazani tzom. Well, what's the purpose of fasting now? Aucha lashiva od. Can I bring him back? Ani holech elov who lo yoshev elai. So you see that David HaMelech, he had very powerful emotions, and the emotion of guilt, the emotion of shame, and the realization he was a chote, and he did this, but that emotion didn't overcome him. That emotion has to trigger off the rational faculty. That's why a person has to be broken. He has to feel broken by the chayv, but then he shouldn't feel that he's completely destroyed, that it's hopeless, because if a person doesn't have a certain amount of self-confidence that in spite of his chait, that he can return and he can not just restore to where he was, but to even achieve a closer relation to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then he's not gonna achieve perfection. That's why the Rambam, I believe, to answer Aaron's question, he says Al Yomar Ba, what does he say? What's the language over there? He asked me Al Yomar. Yeah, the Al Yadama Adam Baal Tshuva. He said even if you're a Baal Tshuva, but you have an inferiority complex. If you have you're walking around with an inferiority complex, that I'm a low person, I'm a Baal Tshuva, so that's no good. There's no benefit in that. You've got to have self-confidence. You've got to have the self-confidence that in spite of all of your averos, you haven't lost out. You can still return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can still achieve the closest possible relationship. That's what that's why he said, even though you're the Tshuva, right, but you may, if, what's the purpose of Tshuva? Now to live your life in a way in which you can achieve your full potential in terms of your relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you can only do so if all of these points that the Rambam is teaching us are vital. If you have to be completely convinced that you don't have this blight, this defect that's going to keep you away from Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the important thing. So that's what is important for everybody to realize. I just want to mention that there are two tshuvos that you really have to be involved in. Of course, the first tshuva is the tshuva in Perek Aleph, tshuva from Maaseh Avera. And that's very, very serious. Very, very serious. But in a sense, I think it may be easier to do. It has a form to it and so on and so forth. But then there's the tshuva in terms of perfection. Perfection of the God. That's an ongoing thing. That's an ongoing thing. That's not where, as I said, a person can do tshuva from a specific avera, and that's it. It's a one-time thing. But the tshuva, in terms of perfection, is an ongoing process. He's got to be involved in it every year. And all the difficulties, because here he's got to change his pattern. It's his style. It's his personality. To do tshuva from those things, I would just suggest one thing. Of all the things mentioned, I think that Yoni said something very important. The problem over there, it's very easy to rationalize. There's a tremendous capacity for denial. So I would just like to suggest there's many different devices. You need to be. It's very difficult for a person to be honest about himself, because a person, you notice that people are very sharp in noticing the defects in others, and they can't see the very same thing in themselves. And that's why even Nasan, when he came to David, he didn't tell David outright what he had done, but he gave a parable, and he the same way, but that was a chacham, and he presented it as though somebody else was doing this kind of thing, and then he recognized himself in the parable. Because it's very difficult for a person to do tshuva, in a sense, because he's working on himself. But who is the one it's the self that's working on the self? I mean, it's a difficult kind of process. So either you have a good chetz, why k'nei lecha chaver, you should have a good chaver. Or if not, let me just give you one suggestion, which I think is helpful. I always mention with regard to learning, that people, the same thing in learning, that people are very good, very critical, breaking down other people's svaras. It's much easier to break down somebody else's svara. Then they themselves will say a svara, and the svara has just as many weaknesses, which if somebody else were to have said that, then they would have taken it apart. But here they are promoting that svara, and if they don't, they're blind. And that's because a person is attached. He's attached to his own ideas, so he's not going to be as critical. So I gave an asa. I said, you can do this mentally. Once you have a svara, now, in your mind, visualize it as though you're in a room. You can do this. As though somebody else were saying it. And you were the one that was listening. How would you treat it then? You could separate it from yourself that way, and then you become much more critical. Well, I say the same thing with regard to your behaviors. Imagine the person always has ways of, it's not, when he did it, there's 25 different reasons. Ways. Imagine if somebody else, how would you react if somebody else would have done it? Whenever you're misupic about a certain behavior, I say either go to somebody else that you trust, that's objective, or if not, think about it in that light. If somebody else, if you read about this, if it was somebody else that did it, and you didn't have all these different, you just looked at the phenomenon itself, how would it appear? Well, that's pretty much the way it is. That's you. Okay, so I just want to wish everybody Gemar Chasim Tov, and we'll continue. The thing of it is that there's a certain perfection to be obtained in tshuva. It's a certain avenue of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it gives you a certain type of perfection. Of course, we're not saying that in the sense that on the ultimate framework that any Baal Tshuva is greater than any Tzadik Gamar Menurav. It just means to say that don't look at yourself in a negative light. There is a specific perfection to be obtained in being a Baal Tshuva. Okay?